Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to the third show today, Racer Radio, where we bring young students in that are young kids, drivers, teach them everything they want to know about how to be interviewed and how to handle those tough questions, and talk about your sponsors. Michelle's in the house with me. How are you doing, kid?
I'm doing great. Glad to be back.
Yeah. This segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection, 6622 University Avenue in San Diego. Go to sdcarb.com for all of your carburetor, fuel injection, whether it be a hot rod, stock vehicle, or even a classic. They do it all. San Diego Carburetor Fuel Injection, sdcarb.com, right there at 6622 University Avenue, 265-2400, 265-2400.
So did you know that last weekend I was up in Vegas and I took a little detour
and talked you into going to the bull ring?
I don't know how far it is.
I'm going to miss the cruise with my club.
You're going to do just
and
fine.
By the way, how did the Ocho do at the car show, you might ask?
Oh, I might ask. How did the Ocho do?
The Ocho was in spiffy condition with his Meguiar's products.
Absolutely.
He had his black trim was looking great, headlamps, everything. The paint was awesome. He got second place. They actually did a thing where did you hear Steve Harvey, when he did the Miss America pageant, he called the wrong lady as the winner.
Yeah.
They called me up there and said I won, and then they changed their mind after they were like handing me the trophy. It went to another guy. So that's how it goes sometimes. I didn't cry.
You whimpered though, I bet.
Somebody had to give me a couple of shots.
Yeah, that's
good. To get over it.
Yeah.
So anyway, after that, we were supposed to go for a cruise, but I didn't. And instead I took a 20-mile detour up the 15 freeway to the bullring at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. No plans. So I show up at the press credentials booth. They don't know who I am, but 5 minutes later, I was talking to the head of the track up in the control tower, and he said it was fine for me to come in. So I got my pass for the pits and everything else. And the bullring is a smaller track at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, where it's asphalt and it's adjoining the main stadium, where they run all kinds of cool races. NASCAR super late models, NASCAR modifieds. Have you ever heard of bombers?
Oh, yeah.
They got the bombers and super stocks. And then they have a Legends series and Bandoleros. And they also have junior late models, which is what Austin Edwards runs in. He's a frequent guest on our show, and we support him wholeheartedly. So he was racing that night. So I went up and got there just in time to see him on the track. He had a mechanical problem with his right rear tire and pulled off, didn't finish the race. But I got together with his mom, Heidi, and the rest of his family after the race. And I took him up in the press booth, actually, and hooked Austin up with a guy who was doing a live podcast, another reporter. Mm-hmm. And so he was stoked because he got to do a little interview after the race.
Sweet.
And we went in the stands and gave away merch, and it was just fun. We had a fun time. Mm-hmm. So this bull ring, it's a great thing as far as just local Las Vegas racers love it. It's a great track. In fact, it reminds me a lot of the setup at Paris. Very similar. Mm-hmm. Very similar. Everything's really nice, brand new. Great concessions. I got a hot dog for $2. And that was not a sale price. That was just the regular price.
I've been saying all along,
Thank you very much.
Sell a lot more hot dogs at $2 than you can at $7.
Yeah, so why can't we do that out here? Maybe because we have to pay too many taxes. I don't know. And then moving on to other motorsports last weekend also, which drove me nuts, was the Long Beach Grand Prix, because I had to be up in Vegas and couldn't go to that.
Right.
And Alexander Rossi was the winner. And they had the IMSA racing also.
Sure.
So, and the Mazdas finished in the middle of the track with Team Jost. Mm-hmm.
Not bad for a brand new team, right?
Not out of the bad
box.
At all. And you know what else is really cool that happened last weekend with the Long Beach Grand Prix, the IndyCar race? Bourdais, who remember he had that horrible accident last year? He led for 18 laps.
Yeah, I was surprised he's back.
He did really well.
Yeah.
And Zach Veach, he's a rookie. He came in fourth.
I know. That's those young kids, I'm telling you.
This is great. Just, it's really fun to watch when races, you really don't know who's going to, a lot of, you know, changes at the front and all that.
Well,
really fun stuff.
I think that's what IndyCar is giving the fans is a completely different look. You know, it's not like F1 where mm-hmm. you know it's either going to be Hamilton or Vettel.
Or Raikkonen. It's the same.
Where
guy.
With this, it's pretty much wide open. I mean, you know, everything happens for a reason. And the competition with the new aero kits and what have you just really did well.
The other thing that's interesting is with IndyCar is they run different tracks every time. It's not just like with NASCAR where you're just going around an oval every single race. Right. They mix it up.
Right. So, well, NASCAR does road courses too, but IndyCar does a bigger mix between road courses and road courses, circles, and streets.
Yeah. So you got your Grand Prix format.
So they actually do three different types of racing.
Yeah, and they're racing right now. And then NASCAR raced last night.
We're not going to give you any results just in case you're a hard worker and you're taping it like me.
Yeah, right.
And I don't really want to know who the winner was. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. I won't say, but it was a good night for our buddy Joey Logano, who's a friend of the show. Mm-hmm. He had a good night.
Yep. Where'd they race?
They were out in Virginia. What is this place called? Richmond, Virginia. Just the Richmond Raceway.
Yeah.
That's what I got here.
Richmond, Virginia.
And then this morning we had NHRA was running down in Texas. And mm-hmm. Leah Pritchett with qualifying yesterday. I didn't watch Top Fuel today or NHRA this morning because I had to get on the road. But Leah Pritchett. Broke a record.
Yeah.
She broke the Top Fuel Elapsed Time track record during the final qualifying session. Yeah.
The weather was just right.
Was
the car
it?
Was perfect.
It wasn't too hot.
No, she had it totally. It was chilly actually. She had it totally. Yeah, she had it totally dialed in.
She beat the record 3.680 second pass at 326 miles per hour. That's the record she broke.
Yeah.
Wow.
And news of the news, John Force did not qualify.
What happened?
Yeah, well, it doesn't happen. It was 200 and something races since he did not qualify, but he did not qualify. I don't know if John Force Racing, especially with his car, is spooked.
Oh.
Because I can tell you right now, height and Brittany, is it Brittany?
Brittany Force?
Yeah, which one's she? One's Top Fuel, one's Funny Car.
Right.
Courtney's Top Fuel. And Brittany, I think, is the Funny Car.
Yes, Courtney's Funny Car.
Yeah, and, you know, she did, I mean, she was doing quite, but for some reason, John is just having nothing but conniptions. And you know, they actually showed a connecting rod where you can see where the bearings are trying to weld themselves to the crankshaft, which would cause the engine to build pressure. So he's got devices on his exhaust headers that if it gets to an explosion type temperature, the computer will shut the car off. And it happened in his last qualifying run, which caused him not to qualify. Something went wrong internally. The temp got up super high. The car shut itself off.
Well, isn't it better that, you know, he doesn't qualify? Okay, I get you.
I think we're talking 25 grand. Yeah, Courtney is
Funny Car.
Funny Car. Thank you very much.
Too. Thank you, Brittany.
Brittany.
Who's paying attention.
She's always paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those school teachers. And she says Michelle got it right.
Well,
yes.
Of course. Girl power. I'm telling you what. Have you told her that you got a room in Ventura for your insanity coming up?
I did. I actually panicked. I texted her yesterday morning and said, O's, M's, G's. I can't find a room.
You have that problem anyway. I mean, you try to get to Barona and you cannot get to Barona because you can never get a room.
They are booked solid the whole summer. Okay, so Barona, save me a room.
Call the PR people. Call the PR people.
Because I need to come to town and watch this race once in a while.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, it looks like we got Dirt Dude on the line.
Okay. Dirt
and
Dude.
We have another guest as well, but we'll find out who that is when we come back right here on Racer Radio, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. Tell you what, everything they have out there, they stand behind it 100%. Sales, service, and parts. These guys are phenomenal when it comes to brand new Fords or quality used cars. 80% of their used cars are trade-ins from the good customer base that El Cajon Ford has built over the years. They also support Barona Circle Track. Go to baronaspeedway.com for all your scheduling, because I'm here to tell you, it is the way to go. And we've got Dirt Dude on the line. Hey, Dirt Dude, how's it going?
Dirt Dude.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hello? Hi, Dirt
Dude. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. I got a headset on, so if it's not working, let me know, and I'll switch over to the phone. So
we can hear you pretty good. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little fuzzy, but we got you.
Okay. Well, I just gave you an update on how everything went for the racing on Saturday.
Yeah, so, you go ahead, and where do you want to start?
Well, let's see. We had a pretty good night. We had about 640 people show up.
All right.
We had about 74 cars, so that's a good car count, and a good fan count showed up.
Uh-huh.
Working on this new surface that we have in the track, and it was I kind of figured it would kind of go dry slick. Troy was trying to do what he really could. He's really trying to learn this new dirt on how much moisture it's going to take.
Mm.
And he didn't. The second race, we had it way over watered. So this race, he kind of held back on water. So it went a little more dry slick. But kind of seeing that, how that's going to go. So now he kind of gets an idea on how much it's going to take for water, you know, per cubic inch, you know, kind of thing. This is the way it goes. So when it turned out pretty good, we actually, in our junior division, we had Logan Perkins in the Sportsman Mini Dwarfs, had a main event win. And then Hudson Morris in the Masters, and I'll come back to that kid in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
And our junior sprints was Caleb Perkins. So the Perkins boys, they won both the main events. Well, the reason I'm going to come back to the other junior driver was we had five drivers come out of Yuma, Arizona, the junior drivers. So Brody Lopez was in a Sportsman. Hudson Morris came out. And then the driver that came in second was Aiden Figueroa out of Yuma. Ryan Brooks, she came out of Yuma. And Malia Estrada was out of Yuma. So we actually had, you know, five kids showed up out of Yuma just to come race our junior division.
That's excellent.
We go out to the big track now. Pony Stocks were our first ones up. It was a pretty good night for them. They were the first ones out, so they had a pretty good surface to run on.
Mm.
Dennis Taylor got his third main event win. And Russell Staley got his second main event win before out of three races. So Dennis Taylor's he's won all of them so far, and Russell Staley's won two out of the three. So it's a pretty good, strong run. Had our Super Stocks last night. They ran on a limited schedule. So we had Mike Learwell with the main event win for the Supers. And I'm not sure when they're going to come back again. They'll be on the schedule. Going to our Pure Stock main event, Eric Evans had a main event win. And this was pretty good to watch because he started 10th out of 15 cars and finished first. So he really had to work his way up to the field, but he had to fight, you know, Wayne Ribello, Ken Rose. A lot of good drivers were up there battling out for that one. That was the Pure Stocks going on to dwarf cars. Austin Weiland, I got a last, pretty much lap pass on the 91 of Ryan O'Connor. Was his birthday. He was leading the whole thing. I mean, this thing was going good, but he had Austin Weiland, John Isabella. Phil Comfort was up there for a little bit. Brittany was up there for a little bit. Brittany was running third for a little while. But the last lap, Ryan O'Connor just couldn't hold off Austin, and Austin got around him for a main event win. And then also in our dwarf cars, Robert Peters got his second hard charger award, so that means the best passing or the most passing. So he got that. And then our street stocks, David Capella got a main event win. He battled with Paul Damberger and Jake Trista. Those guys are brothers, David Capella and Jake Trista, and they both won the heat races, too. So Dave Capella won his heat race. J. Jake Trisca won his heat race, and they got second and third in the main event. They had a good, strong run. And on to our Armstrong Modifieds is our last main event. Rolls-Royce Henry got his second main event win. He beat PJ Dyke and Cole Dick and Bill Miller from Yuma.
Scott just called. So he is going to – oh, sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah. That was how the night went, man.
Wow. So what's the answer to the dirt?
A finesse of water, a finesse of massaging it, and we still haven't really got it down yet. But what's one of those things that, you know – and it's going to – like I said, it's going to take a – it's going to be different for – when you start getting into the temperatures – barometric pressure, you know, humidity, you know, everything. Wind just really, you know, sucks the track dry. It takes all the moisture right out of it. So, like I said, it's still a learning process.
Yeah.
We've got a little bit more of an idea on how much it will take to make it too wet, and now how much it takes to make it dry, but it's still wet in the middle. So, it's a learning process. And like I said, I know Troy is really going to work on this, and he, by the third or fourth race in with his new service, he should be getting it really figured out. So we should be doing pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you know, it takes courage to start all over with a new surface. And, you know, kudos to you guys for working so hard to get it right. You'll get it dialed in.
Yeah. Like I was telling everybody, you know, at the driver's meeting, I said, we've had 6 to 8 years with a surface we've had, you know, and we knew what it was going to do before I do it, because that we've worked with that surface so long. Now you got a new surface, a new composite of clay that's not like the old stuff. It's got a little bit more of a sand base into it rather than the DG base that it had, and you know, the clay ratio is a little different, so it's going to react way different. So just learning it.
Are the racers giving you any feedback on it?
Yeah, it's been really good, because it's as far as grip wise, I mean, the first race was phenomenal. I mean, right out of the gate, for some reason, that was a perfect night. No ruts, it was nice and wet, stayed nice and wet. We just put a little bit of moisture back on it, and it was grippy the whole time. Now, the second race, it was way too wet, and it kind of like peanut butter or Play-Doh, you played with it, and it would like roll up in the corner, started gritting really rutted, but it was still super grippy. I mean, if you could find a spot that you weren't trying to, you know, fly over, that you could still get that car to rotate and plant the power down. And then last night, even being dry slick, it was still grippy until it like totally slicked off, totally dry slick. But then it starts taking rubber and it'll start, you know, getting grip again. So,
well, then
it's gonna be the happy medium.
And the thing of it is, it was that way for everybody. So it's not like there was any advantage or disadvantage of having the track a little bit different, but that's what dirt's all about. You don't want your track to be exactly the same every year. I mean, every race.
That's an asphalt track then, if you do that.
Exactly. So I'm sure you didn't get too many complaints from the drivers, because they know you guys are working your, you know what, off to get it right.
It's funny. The guys that win are up front, you know, second, third. That was a great track. It worked for them. The guys that there at the end or didn't finish, dude, that thing was junk. I never want to race on anything like that again. I'm like, okay.
See you next week. Yeah, no, it's... Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's what they call missing the setup.
Yeah.
I mean...
Or learning the setup. I mean, you just don't... You don't bring the car home, let it sit in the driveway, and bring it back up and knock the dirt off and be like, all right, race number three, let's go for it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You haven't changed anything on the car. You haven't even checked air pressure yet, you know, and it's the same mud on it from the last race. A lot of these guys take their cars home, and some are, I mean, they go through them, like tear them all down, go back to their setup. They have a base setup they'll start with when they get to the track, and they'll see where it's going to go, and then change from the base setup. So it all depends on how crazy you want to start racing and how into it you are.
Yeah, and when's the next race?
It looks like we're looking at, that was our third race of the season. May 5th will be our next race.
It's
just going to be a normal night. We're going to be featuring the modified super stocks and street stocks, pony stocks, pure stocks, and then our junior drivers. Looking further into the future, the next race after that, the May 19th, is when California Lightning Sprints are coming back.
Oh, cool.
So that's to be the sprint cars are going to be back in town.
So, yeah. So you guys did pretty good last night, considering Paris was running last night, too.
Yeah, they ran sprint cars last night.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I was like, if I wouldn't have went to my track, I would have went there for sure.
How was attendance?
It's pretty good. We had about 640, which is up from the last race, but down from the first race.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, as the weather gets better, you'll probably get more.
Yeah, how was the weather last night?
It was actually very, very nice. I mean, if you check out on Facebook, the sun was setting, and we had some clouds, so it was a real nice. I saw the pictures of Paris, so Scott had one out his back door window that was just phenomenal. And then we had the same thing. It was just that bright red sunset where the clouds look like they're on fire.
Wow.
And everyone has, like, these pictures, like Sunny Trent has a perfect picture. Oh, and Brittany has a perfect picture. You see her car, then, like, the red sky behind it.
Yeah.
And the mountains and everything. It just looks so cool. I mean, a lot of drivers took advantage of that real quick.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, that's definitely cool. No doubt.
FN's I'm looking right now. That's a great shot she sent me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, we just got to keep working on it. Those 600 and something that showed up last night should be telling all their friends that, hey, this is a great time had by all. You need to come on out. And
$12 for adults, $5 for kids. Can't beat it.
Can't beat it. Cannot beat it.
All right. So for the website, baronaspeedway.com. And
we are on Facebook. And if you, every race now we're trying to do, like, if you like our Facebook page, we're putting everyone in a drawing and someone could win 4 free tickets for the next race.
So baronaspeedway.com is baronaspeedway.com.
And Facebook page, Barona Speedway, right, Dirt Dude?
Yeah.
Yep, Barona Speedway on Facebook. And all the drivers and everyone's on it too. So it's good to just keep up with the drivers and see what they're doing.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. Well, hey, thank you very much. Get back to doing whatever you were doing. Hopefully relaxing.
You're going to try and enjoy my day, yes.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. Hey, we're going to take a small break, folks. Remember, baronaspeedway.com, baronaspeedway.com. When we come back, Paris Auto Speedway segment comes up, and Joel Rayborn is going to tell us about how his evening went. And then at 3:45, Julia Daly is calling in, and she's going to talk about concussion information in the motorsports community. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned for that. She's got some very interesting news right here on AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to AM 1170, The Answer. This is Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by the good folks at Paris Auto Speedway. Fastest half-mile dirt track in the area. And let me tell you what, it is very cool. If you've never been, you got to go. ParisAutoSpeedway.com. Check out that website. Find out all the racing schedules. See who's there. See who isn't there. And I tell you what, it's a great time had by all the family. It's really fun. It's enjoyable. You really need to do it. Hey, we've got a special guest on the line. Would you like to introduce him?
Right. So frequent guest on our show, and we support this young racer, Joel Rayborn. Welcome to the show, Joel. Again.
Hey, how you doing, Dave and Michelle?
We're doing great. How you doing, buddy? How was last night?
Pretty good. You know, last night was my first start in the USAC CRA 410 series, and that was a pretty exciting night. Right off the bat, I got to thank Jim Blakesley for the opportunity to drive the 12B Don Blair sprint car this year. And with that opportunity, you know, like I said, I got to make my first 410 sprint car start last night. And I'll tell you what, that was a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. That's pretty good in a brand new car. Did you have much seat time prior?
I did run that car the second to last race the year before in the Young Gun Series, which was last year. But that was with restrictors because the Young Gun Series, if you run a 410, that requires restrictors. And so that was my first time in a 410, you know, just went out there. And the only practice I had was hot laps qualifying in a heat race.
Whoa.
Wow. So,
really?
Yep. And, you know, Toby helped me through it. Talked with plenty of people there that, you know, kind of said, hey, you know, do this, you know, hey, try this. You know, everyone was helpful. And, you know, all our friends that help us out, they're all helpful and, you know, teach me stuff as we go. And, you know, we'll keep learning as we go. And every time we hit the track, we got better.
So what'd the owner think of the car, considering that was your basically first time this season? Was he pretty impressed with the results?
Unfortunately, he was happy, you know, when we took it out the second to last race with the young gun. Unfortunately, Jim didn't make it this race. He should be the next race, though.
Sweet.
And shout out to your crew chief, Toby Sampson, who you just mentioned. He's such an amazing guy. He's been there for you for so many years. And again, last night in the clutch, comes out and helps you out, get through the qualifying and get you going in a 410.
Wow.
Absolutely. You know, besides my dad, he's the biggest support as well. And, you know, he was working with me on the car the whole night. And I got to thank Jake Swanson, Jake Swanson Shock Technology, too. He had the shocks dialed in for us. And, you know, we even had an open red during the main event, and Toby did a little adjustments to the car, and it felt better. You know, we were working on it all night. And like I said, we got better every time we hit the track.
Cool. So what are your plans going forward now that you've taken the leap into the national class?
You know, we're just trying to find more sponsors and marketing partners so we can go racing as much as we can. You know, we're still finishing the Western States midget that we have. And then, you know, like I said, if we find some sponsors, hopefully move forward and run those series.
Exactly. Well, how old are you now?
15 years old.
Okay. So you're, this is the beginning of your career, but this is when you need to find those big sponsors. You need to find those rides so you can show the racing community that you definitely have the ability to do it.
Absolutely. You know, if we get sponsors, we'll be able to be even more on top of our game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll be able to show them that I can do it. And then, like you said, you know, you start getting more opportunities and more rides. And, you know, as you progress in your career.
Right.
And then eventually you can end up someone like, you know, Tyler Courtney that gets to run midgets and sprint cars and, you know, do this or that, and or Chris Windham that, you know, does the Silver Crown, the sprint cars and the midgets, and, you know, hopefully do that someday.
Right. Well, you got goals.
Yeah.
You know?
When we first met Joel, remember, Dave? He said, I want to be in the Indy 500.
Right. Well, I got a sneaky feeling that's right around the corner because, you know, Joel's starting out correctly. He starts out on dirt. You know, he gets his dirt creds. He gets to where he knows the dirt better than anybody else. Every time you see somebody win a big-time race, it's because they started in the dirt. Don't you agree?
Yeah, you know, and my dad actually showed me an article the other day, or shared it with me on Facebook there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was talking about, you know, you always used to do the sprint cars and midgets to get to the path to Indy cars or Tony Stewart. You know, he did it all. He did the midgets, the sprint cars, the Indy cars, the NASCAR. You know, he did all, and he went through the dirt ranks, and, you know, so
he credits,
hopefully I can do that as well.
He credits his success from starting off in dirt. I mean, and just about anybody that's made it to the top has started in the dirt, have all tried the dirt first, and then maybe they've moved on to asphalt because it probably paid better than dirt. But I think that's a major plus for you. Do you guys, I know you're only 15, but I mean, I don't know how far down the road you're thinking, but are you eventually going to flip to asphalt?
You know, everyone always asks me, you know, how, you know, we have a pavement car and, you know, we were thinking about building it there for a while, a couple years ago. And, you know, and they always go, you know, it's going to be hard to go on pavement. What some people don't actually realize, I actually started on pavement in the Ford Focus series.
Oh, did you?
So, but I don't think I'd ever go back to pavement until I get, you know, like if I get a national sprint car and midget ride, you know, I could start doing, you know, like I said, like Chris Windham, you know, you can get in the Silver Crown and go run Phoenix and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I totally get it. I like the fact that you're not getting overzealous. I mean, you've got a game plan and you're working the plan. You know, and
we're trying it. And, you know, last night I think was a great start to my first 410 start there with the USAC CRA series. you know, we transferred out of the B on our own and finished 14th in the main. So,
Oh, good.
You know, not a horrible first.
No. Race. And how many cars were in the main?
23.
That's stellar. I mean, first time in a 410 to be in almost the top 10. That's stellar. And I'm sure everybody that, you know, met you last night said the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, people came down after the race and, you know, I'm always there, you know, handing out autograph cards or stickers and, you know, doing all I can. And if you all aren't on social media yet, you know, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Joel Rayborn and Facebook at Joel Rayborn Racing.
Well, Michelle and I have something for you. We just got to get it in the mail. You got to send either Michelle or I an address because we stepped up and got some Racer Radio stickers. And we'd like to give you a few of them, stick them on the car. Maybe it'll bring you some luck. You never know.
Absolutely. You know, and I got to thank you guys too, because, you know, ever since I met you, you know, I've been on the show and which is one more thing that helps me promote all my sponsors and hopefully upcoming new sponsors, you know.
Hey,
and
just one
try
little
our
thing.
Best to keep going racing.
Yeah.
But it's because of who you are and what you do. I mean, you're a clean cut kid. You speak of your sponsors all the time. You're a clean racer. I mean, we've watched you race. I don't know how many times. You're clean. You know, if you can't make the pass, you back out of it. You're not into tearing up equipment or other people. You're not a bull in a china closet. And those are all the attributes that people look for in a racer. You know, I mean, if you were one of these kind of guys who were pushing people into the wall and, you know, just to win the race, there's a good chance you're never going to make it because, you know, that type of mentality is not what.
Well, you're not going to get the support.
No, yeah. Because these corporate sponsors, they want to have somebody that they can say, yeah, this guy sponsors my product.
It's the face of their product.
Exactly. And you and I said it the first day we met Joel at the Western States Racer Expo, this kid is exactly what corporations
want.
Yeah, we just got to find him a sponsor that can see the value in what he's doing so he can, you know, because you're doing this whole thing right now and you've got a very small crew. I mean, there are some teams out there, you know, with the big tractor trailer and the 45-foot trailers all loaded up with everything you need. You guys are doing this on a pretty small budget.
Yeah, you know, funny you say that about how I don't tear up cars. And I think one thing I've always, you know, how I've never torn up cars really bad is I knew if I tore up a car too bad, you know, we wouldn't race next week. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, you know, like you said, some people have... Yeah. I know people that have a full semi for quarter midget racing, you know, and like you said, they have all that. They have the big crews and all this and that. And so, you know, I think that's one thing why I don't crash because, you know, I know I can't, you know, if I do it bad enough, then I know I can't race next week. And so,
well, you don't,
and you know, like you said, the small crew, you know, it's me, my dad, Toby. And, you know, last night we had John Cairo and Kenny Littleton. I got to thank them. They were helping out too. You know, sure. We just get friends here and there that help out with us as well.
Well, you only got one car. Yeah, you've only got one car. You don't have five cars in the trailer all stacked up, road ready and ready to go. That's not the case. So you've got one car. You mess up that car. Well, guess what? It could be one race, two races. It depends on how much damage you do to it. Mm-hmm. And trust me, the last thing you want to do is wad up a car and then have to face your crew.
Exactly.
That's the downside, facing the crew.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I do some of the work, you know. My dad does, you know, stuff like the electrical and whatnot, but
sure.
I work on most of the car, but yeah, I don't think Toby would be very happy to reweld this car together.
No, and neither would anybody. And like you said, you know, the only thing you really want to do between races is prep. You don't want to have to do repairs, right?
Right. All right, Joel, say your website again.
Yeah, give us your website one more time because we have to let you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And then you can always find me on social media at Joel Rayborn Racing and, you know, on Twitter and Instagram at Joel Rayborn. My website is joelrayborn.com. If any of y'all are interested in marketing partnership, you can reach me at JARayborn, RAYBORNE. @gmail.com.
Right.
And got to thank all my sponsors and, you know, A&J Racing, ROW Signs and Graphics, DJ Safety, MTD Racing, Jake Swanson, Shock Technology, and Justice Brothers, you know, everyone who helps us out and comes out to the races and gets us going.
Go hook up with the Justice Brothers. Find I can't think of Mr. Justice's first name. I know him really well. I can't remember his first name. Tell him Stahl said to up the ante as far as sponsorship.
Yeah, that's Ed Justice Jr.
Ed Justice, that's right. Well, tell Ed next time you see him, Dave Stahl says you have to up the advertising package. He'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know, ever since I met Ed.
Isn't he amazing?
You know, at the 2014 USAC banquet, you know, he's always been a nice guy and very helpful as well.
He knows talent when he sees it. All right, buddy. Hey, say hi to the family. Thanks for taking time out of your day. Now get back working on the race car.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
All right, folks.
All right. Thanks, Joel.
All right. We're going to take a small break. We come back. We got Julie Daly on the line, and she's going to talk about head concussions in the motorsport community. You're going to really enjoy this. Stay tuned. This is AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. This is Racer Radio. Brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. You can take a run over to 11370 North Woodside Avenue. Tell them you heard it right here on AM 1170. You'll get a discount on a dyno pull. You want to get your hot rod running right? You need to put it on a pull. You need to make sure you know what your baseline is, and then you build from there. Certified Car Clinic, CertifiedCarCare.net, CertifiedCarCare.net. Tell Matt you heard it right here on AM 1170, The Answer. Hey, we got Julia Daly on the line. Hi, Julia. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. Sorry about the slight mix-up. We were going to have you on the 3 o'clock hour, but that's okay. It was worth waiting, and you can close the show. Tell us about the subject matter you have for us.
So I'm a physical therapist and athletic trainer, and I'm just trying to make racing a little bit safer by spreading education about concussion and how it can affect racers and what to do after you get a concussion and to take it seriously and all that kind of stuff.
Well, how many are tracks starting to do the head protocol, the concussion protocol, like they do in other sports? Is the motorsport community doing it?
So what I've found is that racing series, so sanctioning bodies, are definitely starting to look at different concussion protocols and start implementing them. Race tracks specifically don't seem to have specific protocols that I'm aware of. There's one in England that has talked to me a bit about how to improve their concussion protocol, and that's a track specifically. But for the most part, it's the racing series that I've seen that put, you know, protocols in place.
What do the protocols consist of at this point that you've seen?
Yeah, so it really varies between series. In IndyCar, they have doctors, a neurologist, Dr. Steve Olby, that's been working with them for quite a while, and Dr. Terry Trammell, and they've, you know, been working on concussion protocols for some years now, which is great. They have G-force and accelerometer measurements in the earbuds that all the drivers wear, so they can look at data and how much of a hit they've gotten, and then based off of that, they'll assess them, and if they have a concussion, they go through a step-by-step protocol to make sure that they're safe to get back in the car. Recently, I was working with Pirelli World Challenge to help do all their baseline concussion testing, and then if a driver had any kind of impact, they would come and get a second assessment and do the test again to see if they had a concussion or not. But protocols can vary quite a lot right now, which is kind of a problem because there are a lot of drivers, especially at the semi-pro level or the amateur level, who race in a bunch of different series. And if they crash one weekend and get a concussion, the protocol for one series may be totally different than the protocol for another series. So they may not be supposed to be driving the next weekend, but they can get away with it because it's different series and either there isn't great communication or the protocols are totally different.
Right. They just go to a different track. Nobody knows any difference. They unload and off they go.
Sure.
Exactly.
And that enhances the probability of a bigger concussion issue developing.
Well, and the problem with race car drivers, probably like football players or anybody that, you know, puts themselves into harm's way in a sport, when they do get a concussion and they and you want to either take them out of the game or take them out of the driver's seat, they don't want to.
They don't.
Right.
Which is understandable. No athlete will be able to participate. But there are definitely some risks to racing with a concussion that are kind of different than other sports, because in football or in soccer, if somebody has a concussion and then they go back out on the field, they're putting themselves at danger, absolutely, and they may not perform well. So you could say they're putting their team at risk for, you know, losing or whatever. But if you're on track with other cars, you are putting other drivers at risk by racing with a concussion as well. There have been some studies done that show that there's decreased reaction time, decreased hazard perception, decreased ability to pay attention, and decreased ability to make decisions. So when you put all that together, considering the speed that drivers are racing at, you know, even if you're doing really well, you know, even if you don't have a concussion and you hesitate for a few milliseconds, that could make or break getting through the corner or hitting someone or something like that. So, you know, if your brain is actually injured, which a concussion is a brain injury, then, you know, it could, you could end up injuring somebody else. And, you know, if you crash because you have a concussion, it doesn't matter if you're concussed or not, you still have to pay for that damage.
That's right.
So there are definitely a lot of risks, both in terms of health and otherwise, to racing with concussion.
Well, funny thing, we're starting to see drivers that have got great careers walking away from the sport after their first concussion.
Twenty years ago,
that would have never happened. They would have just drove and drove and drove. But no, not now, you know, they're starting to pay attention to this if they want to live a long, healthy life.
Exactly, yeah. And there have actually been quite a few driver quotes in either the media or, you know, like news articles, stuff like that, of older drivers saying, either saying, oh, wow, I wish I had known about concussion, or I've had a lot of concussions and I can really feel the effects now. Jeff Bodine actually quoted that, here, I'm trying to pull it up here. Here we go. He said he had sustained at least 10 concussions, and he was quoted as saying, I pray when I wake up, I will know who I am.
Well, because look at the equipment. Look at the equipment back then. The helmets really were not up to any kind of a standard. The seats were not.
And the Hans devices. They didn't have those.
Yeah. No Hans.
Safety has definitely come a really long way in a very short time. And the amount of concussions that are seen now is definitely less.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, even the best helmet in the world can't stop your brain from moving around inside your skull.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still get a concussion even if you have everything that you need. It's just it's a matter of how your brain is moving inside, inside your head. Basically, it sits in a bunch of gel, basically, and rotational acceleration. So, you know, your head kind of getting whipped around, stuff like that, has been found to be the worst type of force for concussion. So,
all you have to do,
we've come a long way. There's still a long way to go.
All you have to do is watch the Will Smith movie, and when he stands there with that mason jar half full of liquid, and he puts an egg in it. And just keeps, every time they hit, he slams the egg against the glass jar, slams it against, and next thing you know, after three hits, the egg ruptures, and now the yolk and everything's mixed together. You know,
that's a good example.
It's a really good example, and I highly recommend, and I'm not against football, I'm not against motors, I'm not against these sports that you have these head concussions. I am for when you've had that concussion, you need to sit down, you need to regroup, you need to go and have a good physical examination, be tested.
Well, even in gymnastics, we had
same thing.
Concussion warnings, basically. What would you like to see if you could be the person in charge of developing protocols for the tracks? What would you want to see top of the list that they would do with racing?
I think first and foremost, we need to just educate the drivers, because at this point, there's no one test where we can sit down and do the test and say, yes, you have a concussion, or no, you don't. We rely a lot on symptom report from drivers. Are you feeling a headache? Are you sensitive to light or sound? Are you nauseous? There's a whole bunch of symptoms. But we can't expect drivers to tell us, oh, I think I have a concussion, if they don't know the symptoms and if they don't know the risks. Mm-hmm. Like we were saying before, you know, they're athletes. They don't want to have to sit out. They know if they have a concussion, they might not be able to race the next week or the next day. So they're not going to tell us if they don't think that it's worthwhile. So I think just starting to have conversations and giving racers as much information as possible is step one, so that they become more interested in it. And, you know, a lot of the racing safety that has come about in the past few years has been from driver organizations saying, we don't feel safe, we need to do something about this. So if you don't have driver buy-in, even if, you know, you have the best technology or anything like that, it's not going to get very far. So that's number one, in my opinion. And then number two would be to actually start having these protocols. There aren't a lot of them out there, and a lot of them are very small. So, okay, you might have a test to see if they can race the next day, if they have a crash or whatever, but you also need to have better follow-up with those drivers, make sure that they're going through the necessary steps to make sure that they're safe to get back into the car.
With a doctor, right? You're talking...
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all drivers should be cleared by a doctor, preferably a neurologist.
Yeah.
And there's kind of a standard return-to-play protocol that is considered gold standard based off of research and stuff like that, that comes out in a paper every few years. They update it. So mm-hmm. I actually used that protocol, that base protocol, and came up with a bunch of exercises specifically tailored for drivers.
Cool.
So using things like that to make sure that, you know, racing is so unique, so we need to make sure that the protocols are unique to the racers too.
Okay,
so.
Julia, well, we have to wrap up. What's your website? Real quick.
You can email me at jnbaly@bu.edu if you'd like to learn more.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling in. Really interesting subject. We have to wrap up our Racer Radio program right now, and hopefully we'll talk to you again sometime. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. And as far as Racer Radio is concerned, we have a Facebook page, so go there and like us. We also have a page for You Ought to Know on Facebook, and you can like us there. And both of those, you can message us. And carcentric.net is our website with reviews and calendar. And we'll see you next week. AM 1170, The Answer. Here's a
happy... Racer Radio on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Love Radio Network.